Debbie. We don't want the flame to go flying out of the church here. Thank you. Well, good morning. Welcome to worship here at Romeo United Methodist Church. My name is Pastor Devin, and it is good to be back in Romeo, back with you all to worship today. I want to say a word of thank you to everyone for your prayers and kind words for the youth as they headed out for their mission trip last week. We had a great week. It was a great week serving and meeting others in the community and meeting other churches that we were able to participate with. And I would encourage you, if you can be here next Sunday, to please join us. Those youth will be coming to share about their experience, share about the projects we worked on. They're going to be showing some pictures, and we got a video put together to share. So I hope you can join us next Sunday to see that, to hear about their experience. I think it was a good week for all of them. I joked yesterday when we got back, I took 9 of us north, and we only came back with 6. So it was pretty good odds. But some stayed up with family for a little vacation time. So it was a good trip. And I hope you can join us next week to hear about that. I also just wanted to highlight real quick, there are a number of sign-ups on the board downstairs for upcoming activities. Simpson Park is this week. It's July 26th. That's Wednesday. And we need to know today if you're planning on coming, because they got to get the food around and get things ordered. So the meal will be at 5:30 out there at Simpson Park, and then the worship service is at 7, if you can join us. Also on the sign-up board, we have the Yaha's upcoming summer picnic party that they're going to be having. That's August 7th, if you want to sign up. The United Methodist Women have a trip to Cranbrook House on August 11th, if you want to join them. And finally, we have the mom-to-mom sale coming up on August 5th. You can sign up to sell some items or just come and browse to see if there's some things you can get. Let your neighbors know, let any young families you know in the that are live around you, that mom-to-mom sale will be happening on August 5th. So those are some of the activities we have in the coming weeks. I encourage you to check the board if you want to join us for those events. But those are the things I wanted to make sure I shared. And so we're going to start this service with one of my all-time favorite hymns. I can't go on a mission trip without thinking of it, so I know that's why it ended up on our list for today. It's hymn number 572. It's Pass It On. Will you stand with me as you're able and sing hymn 572? Creator God, the Holy Gardener, who sustains and nurtures all life, open us today to your life-giving grace, your transformative love. Lord, as we notice our internal struggles, empower us to greet the weed and the weeds in our own hearts with care and with compassion. As we recognize the challenges and suffering in our community, inspire us to meet those weeds and the wheat in our neighbors with acceptance and hope. We know that you alone have the final say, and so we give ourselves over to you as instruments of hospitality and grace, that we would tend our neighbors even as we are tended to by you. We pray this all in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may please be seated. Our first scripture reading for today is coming to us from Isaiah. It's chapter 44, and we'll hear verses 6 through 8. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, and I am the last. Besides me there is no God. Who is like me? Let them proclaim it. Let them declare and set it forth before me. Who has announced from of old the things to come? Let them tell us what is yet to be. Do not fear or be afraid. Have I not told you from of old and declared it? You are my witnesses. Is there any God besides me? There is no other rock. I know not one. This ends our first reading for today. And you may have noticed I have a special guest on stage with me here today. We have Nick Proctor, who is joining us. Nick came and played for us at his table a few weeks back and blessed us with his gifts during that time. And on his way out the door, he saw our sign up for special music. And he said, hey, can I come play on Sunday? And my response was, of course, you can come play on Sunday. So he agreed to come and play with us. And in discussions, I discovered that Gwen and Nick know each other. Gwen was Nick's teacher back in the day and helped instruct him back in the day. So they are going to bless us. He's going to be playing Amazing Grace. The lyrics will be on the screens. We invite you all to sing along as you wish as Nick plays Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. T'was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear. Oh, has brought.
Thank you so much, Nick and Gwen, for blessing us with your gifts here this morning and sharing with us. At this time, I'd like to invite any of our children or students, the youth that want to come forward to join me for the time with children, to come on up and join me on the stairs. Good morning, boys and girls. How are you doing today? Good? That was a good, but it wasn't looking so good. I hope it's good. How about you guys? You doing all right this morning? Doing good? I see some smiles. I like that. Well, I'm glad you guys are up here with us this morning. And I was just thinking this morning, you know, I shared at the start this past week, I went away. I went on a mission trip with the youth. We went up north for a little bit. I had to leave my house and had to leave my family and had to go. And when I got home yesterday, we pulled the car into the driveway and all of a sudden the night, got out of the car and I just heard a little voice, Daddy! And suddenly I saw feet running up the path towards me. And Lainey, our youngest, you guys know Lainey, she's our little one. She came running up and she said, Daddy, you come back! Like it was a surprise or something. But I think she was glad I came back. I think she was happy about it. She gave me a big hug and wouldn't let me put her down. It was very nice. And I enjoyed that. And I was glad to be home and glad to be with them, to get to have dinner with them and have a fun time with them again. But it kind of got me thinking for a minute because, you know, I did go away, but it reminded me that when I went away, God, my Heavenly Father, He didn't go away. I didn't have to worry about Him coming back because God went with me. God went with all of our group as we traveled, as we went up there and did that work for the week. God was with us because God doesn't leave us. God stays with us in all those times. And I just wanted you guys to remember that no matter where you're going, whether you're going to school, and if you might get dropped off at school and your parents have to leave you, or a babysitter, or your parents have to go to work, whatever it might be, that your parents, they'll come back. We have a Daniel Tiger favorite song in our house that's, grown-ups come back. And that's true. Grown-ups come back. But then we can also remember that God never leaves us. God goes with us everywhere we go. God was with me on that mission trip, helped keep us all safe, helped us do what we needed to do, get home safely. God goes with you guys as you go about your days and your weeks going to activities and school and fun things. And so just remember that whenever you're going somewhere, even if your parents have to leave for a bit, God's with you. And God's there to support you and love you and encourage you and do all those wonderful things. And we can be thankful that we have a Heavenly Father, a God that loves us so much that He just can't leave us. He can't leave us on our own. He's always there in our heart with us. So I want you guys to remember that. It was encouraging to me as I worked this week and got a little tired during the week, I had to remind myself that God was there to give me strength and give me encouragement. And He'll do the same for you. So I wanted to remind you guys of that. And I'm going to let you go back and enjoy your time at Odyssey this morning. But I'm going to say a prayer for you before you guys head back there, all right? So can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I give you thanks for these boys and girls. I give you thanks for the children and youth of our church. I give you thanks for the opportunity to serve you in this world, knowing that you go with us wherever we are, at all times and all places, no matter what, you stay with us. You're living in our hearts because you love us that much. So Lord, I just pray that you continue to encourage these students, encourage these children to know your love for themselves, to know it in their heart, to know that you are with them. And Lord, help us to share that love with others, to our friends, to our family, to somebody who needs to know that they are loved by you, that you love them so much. Lord, we love you.
We know you love us, and we pray in your holy name. Amen. Thanks for coming up, guys. You can head back. I think there's Odyssey back there. Oh, Beth's got it. She's coming for us this week. That's right. Thank you so much. You guys have fun back there. Oh, well, Craig's coming to get us lit up this morning. Hopefully that one doesn't burn us down, Debbie. It'll be under control. If you guys see me light up, just let me know, please. We'll be all right. We're going to pray. We'll pray that we don't burn the place down. But we do take this time to share our joys and our concerns, those things that we're aware of in our church family, in our own lives, as well as in our community, in our world. And I have just a couple I wanted to share. The first, I talked to Nancy on her way in, and she just wanted to ask for prayers for her dad, for Frank. His back was giving him some trouble this morning. He wasn't able to quite make it in. So I just continue to keep Frank in our prayers for his health and his well-being. And I also received a message yesterday from Paul and Cindy Schaefer. We've been praying for Paul for a few weeks here. As you remember, he had an ATV accident that ended up with 9 broken ribs on the surgery that followed that. He's been able to make it home now, which is an answer to prayer indeed. Yes, we can celebrate that. He told me that they hoped to make it back, but they knew they weren't going to be in this morning, that they'd be watching online. So we say good morning to Paul and Cindy as they're watching from home. And he's doing well, but he still has a road of recovery ahead of him, some pain to work through and some therapy to do. So we continue to keep Paul in our prayers. They did appreciate all the calls, the cards, the prayers, everything that's been poured out to them. They wanted me to express their thanks. But let us continue to keep them in our prayers. And I just wanted to recognize that we also have Bob is with us here this morning, Bob Baholsky. We've been praying for him for a few weeks, so we are glad to have Bob back with us and have them. He's doing well. He was moving good and gave me a good firm handshake, so I know he's feeling better and back with us. We were glad to celebrate that this morning as well. But those are the ones that I had shared with me. We have the microphones, Nathan and Craig. If you would like to share, please just raise a hand, and I'll bring a microphone to you this morning.
Hi, it's Marilyn. I just want to give you an update on Nate, my neighbor's grandson, who was the victim at the MSU shooting. He's doing so well. He's still in Chicago at this moment at a therapy place that's doing absolute wonders for him. He's able to talk now, not too well, but he's talking, and they're working well with his limbs, and he's looking forward to going home. His parents are fitting their home for being able to take care of him. And his brother has given done a GoFundMe page for him, and they've raised several thousand dollars for a handicapped van for him because they need that to get him back and forth. But it's just an absolute miracle, and he is so excited. He is so positive about things, and the young man is just so thankful for everyone who's prayed for him. That's just an absolute miracle.
So, thank you, Marilyn.
Thanks, Marilyn.
We do continue to keep Nate in our prayers, the long road recovery he's had, but wonderful to see the positive progress. So thank you for continuing to share with us. Are there others this morning?
Continued prayer for Beth Eisen.
Continue to keep Beth in our prayers, of course. Thank you, Nathan.
Good morning. I would ask for prayers for my brother-in-law. His name is Dale. He's had heart problems for a long time. He's had back surgeries. He used to drive race cars. So that kind of goes with his lifestyle. But he's had several stents put in his heart. A week ago, my sister had to take him back to Beaumont. And he had another 90% blockage in his heart in two areas that they hadn't noticed before when he had his last stent put in November. So he's very, very weak, and he's coming to grips with how fragile life can be. Please pray for him. Thank you.
Keep Dale in our prayers for his health and for his well-being in the days ahead. Thank you, Linda. Dale, yes. One in the back there, Craig.
I just have a praise this morning. If my mom was here, she'd probably kill me, but she had a major birthday yesterday, and we had a nice little family party. All the great-grandchildren and grandchildren were there, and I know she received lots of cards and best wishes. So if you see my mom, wish her a belated, happy 92nd birthday.
A joy as well. Thank you, Mary Jo, for sharing with us.
I'd just like to say thanks to Nick again for playing music for us. That was a real praise here this morning.
Thank you, Craig. Are there any others this morning? Well, then I encourage us to take those that we've heard, those that we celebrate, the joys we've heard, as well as the needs that are before us. Also those needs that we have in our own lives, our loved ones, our community, our world. There is plenty of need. Take a moment and pray before our God in silent prayer. Merciful God, you plant each of us like seeds in the same field, and together we are nourished and nurtured by the sun. We sway in the wind, we're refreshed by the rain. We are blessed by the knowledge that you want us to grow towards what you call us to be. Lord, when we deprive others of this same opportunity, forgive us. When we want to uproot those whom we believe don't belong in our part of the field, Lord, forgive us. When we label others as good or bad rather than accept and receive them, Lord, forgive us. When we're reluctant to acknowledge that we ourselves, we are a mixture of weeds and wheat, Lord, forgive us. When we're afraid to look into the fields of our own lives to see what is growing there, Lord, forgive us. God, you know us. You know us inside and out, through and through. You search us out. You lay your hand upon us. You know what we're going to say, what we're going to ask before we even speak. So, Lord, today we pray that you help us to reach out to the uprooted and the rejected, the lonely and the outcast. Help us to develop and grow the good in ourselves, in others, and in the world. We've heard of the reasons we celebrate this day, the joys we have in our lives, times of gathering, times of celebration. We also acknowledge the hurt and suffering, the struggles that many face. Lord, help us to continue to be those that support and encourage and reach out in good times and bad to love one another as much as we love you. We pray all of this in Jesus' name as together we pray this prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I'll invite you to stand with me again as you're able for our next hymn. It's number 413, A Charge to Keep I Have. Will you stand with me as you're able for hymn number 413? Please be seated. As you are, we take this moment each Sunday to celebrate the collection of our tithes and offerings, the gifts that are brought to the church today. Today I celebrate the week that we had with the youth, the mission that we were able to go on with those children, with those students, the difference we made in the world, a difference you were all a part of through your continued support of our missions and our ministries, of our youth and of our church. I thank you for that. I thank you for the difference we can make in the world as we work together to share God's light and love. I remind you, we have our offering box on the wall. If you would wish to leave a gift here today in the box, or it's also available on our website at romeoumc.com if you want to use the e-giving option. But let us take a moment to celebrate, to offer a word of prayer for our collection today. Holy God, we are living in days of division, days of polarization. We regretfully confess that your church is not exempt from that statement. Lord, regardless of where we stand, it's far too easy to look at those who see things differently and see them as weeds amongst us, stunning the good fruit we could bear. But as we bring our offerings to you, the temptation to focus on our own agenda sometimes is strong. So we pray that you help us to give generously without judging. Give us the faith to put these gifts to use, to do so humbly, with humility, to know that only you can see clearly. Only you know what is the wheat and what is the weed in the fields. Let us tend to one another. Let us tend to the world with love and care. For we pray this in the name of Christ, who knows our hearts and who knows all about us. We pray this in his name. Amen. Our second scripture reading for today is coming to us from Matthew. It's Matthew 13. We'll hear verses 24 through 30, and then continuing in verses 36 through 43. The parable of weeds among the wheat. He, Jesus, put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from? He answered, An enemy has done this. The slave said to him, Then do you want us to go and gather them? But he replied, No, for in gathering the weeds you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. Continuing in verse 36, Jesus explains the parable of the weeds. Then he left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples approached him, saying, explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field. He answered, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen. This is the word of God for all of us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, I know I've said it before, I've shared with it before, that sometimes God's sense of humor, sometimes his way of doing things, it just makes me laugh. It gives me great joy because I picked out this scripture about 2 months ago when I was making my plan for the summer. We were doing it as a part of this Path of the Disciple worship series that we're working through this summer. And I put it in my notes that we were going to use this passage for this Sunday. Well, as I shared a few times during worship, you know I was with the youth this past week on our mission trip. And I really do hope you can join us next Sunday to hear about that trip from those students because they have some awesome experiences to share. But the reason I love God's sense of humor is that as I sat down to work on this message, it was Thursday night at camp, and I read this passage about the weeds and the wheat in the field. And as I read that, we had literally spent that entire day pulling weeds out of garden beds and out of flower beds and everywhere else we could find weeds. We showed no mercy to those weeds. They were flying everywhere, left and right. We had piles of weeds everywhere. And then I looked at this scripture, and I really looked at it, and I said, you know, did I just tell the youth to do the exact opposite of what Jesus is telling us to do in this scripture? That was not my intention, to take the youth on the mission trip and go against God's word. But is that what we did? And I had to sit with that for a minute, because Jesus says, let them both grow together. Weeds and wheat, weeds and flowers, weeds and whatever vegetables might be growing in those garden beds. Let them grow together. Don't worry about the weed patch. Pay it no mind, Jesus seems to be saying. Just let it grow. I had to sit with that for a while. Might have been because there were teenagers running all around me and I couldn't focus, but I had to sit with that and think about it for just a little while. Because that instruction, it just seemed a little off from the instructions Jesus normally gives to us, doesn't it? I mean, just in recent weeks, we've heard him tell us that we need to take his yoke upon our shoulders, that there will be work to do, difficult work to do in the fields. We've heard him tell us that we need to work the soil of our souls, to keep it producing good fruits, that it takes work and effort. And then this week, the scripture, it seems to say, don't worry about it. Let those weeds grow. It's not going to be a big deal in the end. Don't worry about it at all. But then I had to really focus, because is that what Jesus is really saying? Don't worry about the weeds? We might like it if that was what he was really saying. But of course, if we look at it that way, that wouldn't be really looking at the full picture of the scripture, would it? That would be taking just a small snippet of the scripture out and maybe making it say what we want it to say. Something like, those weeds, those sins, they don't really matter. Don't worry about those. Don't sweat it. It's no big deal if you do those little sins. That sounds like a pretty free and easy way of living, doesn't it? Sounds like something we might like if that was what Jesus was telling us. Removal of boundaries as a way of approaching life.
Is that what Jesus is really telling us to do? How he is telling us to live in this passage? I think if we wanted to go in and cherry pick our favorite verse out of it, maybe we could make it say that. Maybe we could argue that point. But I think there's a couple of important things we need to focus on when looking at this passage. A couple of important things that might change our thoughts, change our behavior, change our attitudes as we look at this scripture. Because first of all, to be clear, I want to make sure I say this so I don't have anyone thinking I believe otherwise. This parable does not argue that there's no such thing as sin anymore. It does not argue that there's no such thing as right and wrong. I don't think for a second that's what Jesus is saying. Because remember in those verses, the master, when he found out about what had happened, about those weeds growing in his field, when he's told about it, what is his response? What does he say? He immediately says, an enemy has done this. Jesus later tells us, this is the devil's work. This is Satan at work in the world. Jesus doesn't claim that sin has disappeared. He acknowledges even that evil and sin is still at work in the world. Despite our best efforts, those forces of wickedness exist. They're in the hearts and the minds of us all. It's a part of who we are. It's a part of our brokenness. It's out there. And its effects can be devastating in our lives and in our world. Jesus does tell us we are also still in the business of trying to root out such evil, root it out of our lives. And that takes us right to where the second point of this parable is, I think. One that's a difficult reminder for us all. I know it's a difficult one for me to remember at times. But it's the fact that we don't always know what we're looking at, what it is we're trying to root out. Because I'll be the first to admit, I do not have a particularly green thumb. I don't have my master gardener card. I can't go out there and look in those flower beds. When I look at them, they all look the same to me, whether they're weeds or flowers or plants or otherwise. They all look the same. I could be pulling out the bulbs of some of the most beautiful flowers for all I know and leaving the weeds behind. I can't always tell what is what. I'm so thankful that Jen Ricketts, joined us on our mission trip last week because I sent her into the gardens and she told us what to pull out, what was good and what needed to go. Because I don't know on my own. And while that applied to us in our work last week, it also applies to all of us. We all have our own blind spots. Because if we remember back, Jesus talks about this. He talks about it in his parable of the speck and the plank that we might have in our eye. How quick we are to point out the speck that someone else has in their eye while completely ignoring the plank we have in our own. Because the point he was trying to make is that we often think the sins of others, the sins that we aren't guilty of, are far worse than the ones that we are guilty of. We're much more ready and willing to correct the behavior of someone else's bad behavior as we see it, rather than to pay attention to or be willing to change our own. In fact, at times, what we want to correct in someone else, it might not even be a sin. It might be nothing more than a difference of perspective or understanding. It might not be a sinful thing after all, but we're quick to point it out. And the truth is, whether we like to admit it or not, us Christians, we don't have the best track record of always being right about what's wheat and what's weeds in the field. Because there was a time that we were certain that women were not held in as high regard in God's kingdom as men were. We were certain of that fact. We were sure that white skin was a better guarantee of salvation than black or red or yellow skin. We were convinced that Jesus wanted us to go out and make the world to be just like the USA, that all citizens of the world should act and think and behave and worship and have cultures like we have, that other cultural expressions of faith weren't as adequate as ours. But now, as we live in 2023, we don't hold those truths to be true anymore. But those were the truths we believed in the church. Throughout history, we haven't always been able to tell what was weeds and what was wheat, even in our own pews. And the parable that Jesus taught reminds us that even when we think we do know, even when we're certain, he reminds us that pulling those weeds out can do more damage than good. Jesus is trying to remind us, we've talked about it in past weeks, that hospitality has to remain at the top of our to-do list.
If loving our neighbors with the same energy with which we love God is to be our MO, then we must approach sin as something more than just something that's going to kick people out the door, tossing them out of the church. Because I believe that's the other clear message that Jesus is trying to impart in this parable. It's a reminder that judgment is not ours to hand out. Ultimate judgment is God's job and not ours. I think it's because we don't know enough. We don't love enough. We don't care enough. We can't do any of those things as much as God does. We don't have the ability to judge rightly. And I saw one theologian, one pastor, who suggested this week that it could be argued that trying to take over God's job, God's judgment, could be seen as the ultimate lack of faith. That we don't think God is able or that God will deal with people as we think he should, so we try to take over that job from God. We'll step in and handle it for God. God needs our help in this matter. Let's face it, God doesn't need our help in any matter. God is in control. God knows what is right and wrong. God knows people's heart. We don't get to choose to play God on this or anything. God is in control. And that's what Jesus is calling us to in this passage, to trust, to remember that God is still in control. He calls us to trust the goodness of God in our lives and in the lives of others, to live lives of righteousness, to live a life of love, even if we're living in a world that doesn't favor those who do so. Even if we live in a world where the dog-eat-dog mentality seems to have taken over, God calls us to a better way of living. Because God's way is more whole. God's way is more sustainable. God's way is more satisfying for our lives. And I think that really brings us to the answer of to the question of what then are we to do about sin in our midst, in our lives, in our world. I think Jesus tells us the answer is to live a life of righteousness, to be the wheat living among the weeds, to live in a public way for others to see so that those who have not yet found God, who have not found that experience for themselves, can know it in their heart and in their lives. They can see the water of life welling up, swelling up in us, ready to burst forth. They can see the light emanating from us, and they can pursue it for themselves. And I'm not beginning to suggest that we just turn our back on sin and ignore it. But what I'm suggesting is, instead, we overpower it. We live a better way. We counteract it with love and not with judgment. We transform, even as we ourselves are being transformed, through hospitality and grace, not through hatred and exclusion. We heal, even as we are being healed, through acceptance and hope, not through condemnation and exile. We tend to the gardens, even as our master gardener tends to our hearts. Because there, I believe, my friends, is the best part, the most amazing part of this story, of the story of God's love that's told to us through the scriptures that we are still living in today. Because there will come a time in our future, when we will celebrate that hospitality, where we will be able to embrace the grace that has been poured forth for us, poured into us, the grace that we have poured out to others. There will come a time when we will see God face to face, where we will join him. We will shine like the sun. It will emanate out of us and glow with a brightness we can't imagine, brighter and more brilliant than anything we've ever seen. We will bask in a glory like none other. That is the promise we hold. But I also believe that compounding that joy might be the surprise of seeing who else is there basking with us. Some of whom we might have thought we needed to pull up like the weeds we identified them as. The weeds we identified in the garden of our lives. But then I also had a friend say to me this week, she sat down as I was writing this sermon, told her what I was preaching on, told her my theme for it. And this is what she said to me, that there might be those who look at us when we're there in heaven basking in that glory, and they might say, you know, I once thought you were a weed in God's garden, and I wanted to pull you out.
thanks be to God that I didn't. How true is that? How many people have looked at us, looked at our lives and thought, they're not good enough. They don't belong here. They shouldn't be here. Why do we do the same to others? We serve an awesome God, one of power and one of might, one of tenderness and one of care, one who knows us better and more intimately than any other, and one who continues to pour out a grace that we don't deserve. Rather simply put, we should be plucked out and thrown in the burn pile. That's what we deserve. Yet God continues to nurture us, continues to provide for us, continues to care for us, no matter how much we act like a weed. That's the God that loves each and every one of us. And all I can say is thanks be to God for roots that run so deep that there is no one that can pluck us away from his love, no one that can pull us away from God. He will continue to search. He will continue to love. And thanks be to God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's stand for our last song, if you're able.
Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me, all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shout the lion and let the whole world sing. Singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shout the lion and let the whole world sing. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
May each of us go forth filled with God's grace, that grace that overflows into hospitality and care for your neighbors, Let us continue to work with God to bring about a new, life-giving reality for all of creation. Let us go with God's blessing now and forever. Amen.